Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the PPC Chat Roundup. In today's episode, we have Julie taking us on a great topic, and not only a great topic, but taking us on a great topic with a great co-lead. Today, we've got the amazing Brianna Anderson, who's going to be talking to us about GA4, and not talking to us about GA4, more like answering all our questions about GA4. So we give her loads of our questions and all our frustrations and all our thoughts about how difficult we're finding it and how to get through that. So we go through that, how we characterize our working relationship with GA4, talking about recent changes that have been happening, and just general pressing questions that we've had. Off the top of my head, we've got stuff, people talking about registering some default event parameters as custom dimensions in GA4, and whether that's the way to do it or whether there's a better way and then effective ways of GA4 to differentiate between Google paid search ads and display ads, and much more. So anyway, let's not give it all away. It's going to be an interesting topic. She's going to debunk some myths. She's going to help us with our biggest frustrations and hopefully help us have a better relationship with GA4. So yeah, stay tuned. Hello and a warm welcome to this week's episode of the PPC Chat Roundup, a podcast where I round up the Slack discussion that happens on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. GMT. I'm your host, Anu, and I'm recording from my studio here in London, UK, and I use this platform to share not just expert, but also my ideas and considered best practices about paid media and the direction the digital industry is going in. So if you want to keep up to date with my tips and tricks in the industry and get the latest on the podcast that has been called your go-to, if you don't make it to the PPC Chat live discussions, and even if you do, then like, follow, share, and retweet on That's Right Twitter with the handle The Marketing Anu, or join us on our LinkedIn group, which is the PPC Chat Roundup. Or if you're on Instagram, why don't you check us out at PPC Chat_Roundup to get quotes and snippets from our previous episodes. And just to note that I am actually most active on LinkedIn as well. So find me on Anu Adegbola on LinkedIn, or if you search for the at The Marketing Anu anyway on LinkedIn, you will find me as well and see all the posts that I've signed off as The Marketing Anu. So yeah, we've got a very interesting chat for you today, and this one definitely is for experts of all levels, especially if you know nothing about GA4 and you're finding it a bit of a struggle. So please don't be afraid to participate, get in on the, even give Bree some more questions even if you missed the live chat. But if you're also excited to just listen to me give you the questions and answers to see whether those are the things that you're worrying about and hear me, you know, list them out and round up the answers, then yeah, welcome to this episode. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you find this episode very useful and get some great takeaways from it. So let's get straight into it. You know, Brie, first of all, introduces herself. So let's remind ourselves of Brie's amazing credentials. She says, hello, everybody. I'm Brie E. Anderson, a digital marketing analyst and a one-person consultancy of Beast Analytics. She helps people collect, understand, and use their data to drive strategy and increase ROI. So yeah, she's always been about the data, always been about analytics. So she got straight on board and on the boat with learning about what GA4, and you know, when we all had to switch to the GA4 when Google gave us that deadline. It was last year, right? About moving on to GA4. She's been doing trainings and really helping people navigate those waters. So let's get into our questions today. Julie reminds us that she does have questions for everyone to start off. So a couple of questions specifically she asks to the audience, to Brie, to get an understanding of the kind of people in the room and what our relationship is with GA4. And then we'll then take it from there and get our questions answered to discuss GA4. So that was quickly done from question 3, where loads of people just gave in their questions and Brie gave answers to the ones that she could. So starting us off, let's get to the question of that Julie poses here, of how would you characterize your working relationship with Google Analytics 4? What is your working relationship with GA4? Brianna herself said, personally, I think I'll go with, oh, it has me working, all right? So yeah, she works a lot on people's frustrations with GA4. River Minkoff goes, an unhealthy relationship. I can't leave, which I could go back to my ex, but I can't. So the ex being universal Universal Analytics even. Julie as well says, I'm trying hard to fully embrace it, but GA4 sure doesn't make it that easy. Dogar Thomas goes, I've used it since it released in, gosh, what was it, 2018. I was fascinated by the fact that paid views weren't the primary event and how that could have all of us rethink how we measure and track online. Peter Bowen goes, for the most part, I ignore it in favor of Google Ads tracking. I said, thankfully, non-existent as in the relationship with GA4, but I oversee a PPC community that has daily issues with it. And we've got laughing emojis from Boris, who's part of that PPC community I'm talking about. Grace Udogu responds saying, yeah, my biggest headache with GA4 as an in-house growth exec is the disparity between the data, especially in conversions or key events. Julia Weiss goes, I just don't know how to help my clients because the product is so different. It feels like there's a new item every day. And when my clients ask for advice, I don't know what to say to them. Arnold Bertasius goes, I try my best to learn, and then he crosses out learn, ignore it. So he tries his best to ignore it, pretty much. Miriam responds saying, I feel like GA4 is recently similar to Google Ads, where things appear or move and you never really know if it's always been like that, if it was a UA thing you're thinking of, or if it's changed. Just go with the flow and hope for the best. Dogar Thomas as well says that I could never get management or clients to buy into that vision though. We're still stuck in the tyranny of these low-level events and pages as the core lens that we view users' interaction through. River Minkoff as well said in response to Doug saying, yeah, I think Google skipped the bringing the clients up to speed part, right? Brianna goes, yeah, I'm just impressed that you had clients that would go into analytics by themselves. LOL, hard to find those folks. Boris goes, love, hate, it's still a learning curve for me, but I got the basics, okay, more than the basics down by now. But why does everything have to change all the time? Neva Hopkins responds saying, GA4 reminds me of my Russian swim instructor that is responsible for my fear of shark or swimming in dark waters. He would have us swim the length of the pool, holding our breath, and if we failed, the sharks would get us. Did I become a good swimmer? Sure. Do I like swimming? Absolutely not. GA4 took comfortable marketers who were in the habit of reporting workflows and dropped us into the deep end of choose your own adventure. Some thrived because they knew they wanted and could articulate it. Others failed in tech fright or indecision. But the biggest issue is the ones who needed the really cool tools often got blocked by thresholding. And then, yeah, River as well responds to Brianna and Doug saying, while there are some that do go into GA4 on their own, either way, it's imperative that they understand the new form of measurement and that there are certain metrics we just can't report on anymore. That's the piece I think Google skipped. Stephanie White responds saying, my thought is it has potential. It is hard to believe they produced a product that is worse than the original. And Doug as well said, yeah, well, they don't. That's the thing. But if you hear for 20 years that, okay, you got 1,200 visitors to your site this month as the main top line metric that everything else flows from, and then all of a sudden you say this thing everything was based on actually is full of fraud and junk, oopsie whoopsie, it's a hard sell. Jillian goes, junk, oopsie whoopsie. Right, that is not a word you want to use with paying clients. Dava goes to Boris saying, just keep swimming. In all seriousness, I actually like GA4, but I understand why folks are frustrated. Julie as well says, let's be real, Google is historically terrible at rolling things out, particularly when said things represent a gigantic departure from what came before. This all could have been done so much better, but part of me thinks they actually don't want to be the world's free analytics keeper anymore too. Doug goes, and like, I think it's hard from an industry perspective that we know it's junk internally, but the graphs are all up and to the right. Please give us more money. I don't know. It's like how the IAB actively fights against fraud protection. We as practitioners have a vested interest in doing sleights of hand with analytics. Travis Bierschel responds saying, I'm embracing the change, but I have my struggles like all others. My goal is to be an absolute pro with the next month so I grow post all the headaches. I'd rather have my limitations set clear than to continue wading through the unknown. River Minkoff said to Julie, saying, yeah, 100% think this, especially with the stuff about only storing the data for so long and depreciating UA relatively quickly. Robert Brady just has one word, toxic. Julie goes, yeah, to River Minkoff, right, River? If they really wanted to be an analytics provider, they would have built capabilities to compare your old UA data with GA4 data. Do not underestimate Google's desire to not get drowned in privacy, regulations, or lawsuits. Dogar Thomas goes, I think the real challenge is that we've taught clients that numbers are real. Like, yeah, I've reported 1,000 leads per month from ads using an agreed upon metrics of leads, but both you and I and the client know the number wasn't leads. It was this action as determined by us to be a responsible proxy. And Julie goes, I'd argue the reasonable proxy part is very new, particularly for advertisers who have been advertising for long. Google flat out reported conversions as real tangible things until very recently. That is hard to get clients to move off of. And then Amit Cabra as well said, a bit toxic. I've been finding that I get frustrated more often than not with it. I think I just need a solid day to sit down and think about it clearly. And then Julie takes us on to question two, saying, let's talk about the recent changes in Google Analytics 4 that are designed to address discrepancies between Google Ads and GA4. And there's a Search Engine Land article on it that she shared that I will share in the show notes as well. And Bria as well says, my understanding, she puts in bold her understanding, so don't quote her if this happens to be wrong, is that at the end of the day, this all just came down to vernacular and naming conventions. Well, that and they value people who send money with them over the actual success of our clients sometimes. And then Arnold Bertasos responds, saying that we'll now have two data sources as key events and conversions, but how does that solve the data discrepancies? Brie also responds to that, saying, I think of it like this. Google Ads wants you to bid on mid-funnel events because more of those events happen than low funnel, right? Makes sense because technically they need data to run the ads, but the idea wasn't reflected in GA4. We just had conversions, which most folks used as the ultimate events to happen. So to shore things up a bit, in most places in GA4, we will have key events. The only places this is different is in the advertising section, which you only get access to when you connect to Google Ads account. Annoyingly, and technically, this data should match up with what you see in Google Ads. And Nava Hopkins as well says, yeah, I feel emphasis on feel versus no. This is an attempt to get us to be better about syncing in offline conversions and opting into sharing of data to improve models so they can do a better job of tracking or reporting at the level we're used to. And Bray responds to that, saying, I think it's really kind of confusing, but may ultimately push more folks to use, as in using in inverted commas, Google Ads, at least connect to it because that's the only place clients will see conversions. Travis Bierschel responds, saying, I'm eager for the alignment. Beyond that, it's effectively a nothing burger, naming conventions only, that may add to the general confusion around GA4. Amethyst Murphy responds, saying, when you say that you only get access to the advertising section when you connect Google Ads, do you mean the entire advertising tab, e.g. where the model comparison tool is? Julie goes, yeah, there is also little to no communication between product teams at Google, which does not help any of this. Brianna responds to Amethyst going exactly that, and as someone with a lot of SEO clients, it's very annoying. And yeah, Brie also gives a link to an article from Google Support saying, get started with advertising, analytics helps. So I'm going to share that in the show notes. Julie goes, yeah, Brie, is there anything specific PPC managers should be doing or not doing in their GA4 configuration with this change? Brie goes, so honestly, I'm not overly surprised to see something like this come about. There have been a lot of terminology changes in GA4 that are seemingly attempting to help folks pinpoint attribution, which is odd considering that it's getting harder to do this. But we know we now have like types of attribution, session, first user, key event, version, like so confusing. Breer then continues, honestly, I don't see any change here. The only thing is to make sure you're connected to Google Ads so you can get your reports. Julie goes, well, I also think that the shift away from conversions to key events is also in response to anticipation of data loss, which is wild because the ads ecosystem is still conversion driven, especially with automated bidding strategies. But there too, advertisers are being slowly moved to include more actions in their conversion price process. Nava responds saying, yeah, primary versus secondary conversion action deja vu. Brie goes, my biggest recommendation though is to not get your clients worked up about this. These are technically the same metrics, just called different things in different places for no reason other than to make PPC folks feel better about data potentially matching. If your clients don't get into GA4, I just keep reporting as normal using the same verbiage and put a small disclaimer at the bottom of your reports attempting to explain the difference of the term the client will see in GA4 should they go into the platform. And then we go into getting the questions from the audience and Brie to answer them. So Julie goes, yeah, what are your most pressing GA4 questions for Brie? So yeah, please answer in the thread. Nava goes, we're talking a lot about Google. Can you share any paid social things to be aware of on a GA4 front? Travis goes, how meaningful is thresholding in terms of reporting accuracy? I appreciate that Google A wants to conserve server bandwidth and foster a better UX, lower load times, and B claims to protect privacy and therefore throttles full data. Is there a meaningful divergence in data and anything to do to avoid this process, even at the expense of report load times? Nicholas goes, yeah, moving GA behind an opt-in cookie experience is going to significantly deteriorate our ability to track and count users. What's the risk with non-conforming to the cookie consent approach beyond losing the ability to do retargeting? Where do you think the industry is going in terms of user tracking? And Miriam goes, yeah, consent mode V2. That's her question. Brie then goes, oh yeah, the biggest thing is that the FBC cleared, etc., no longer being recognized in GA4. So needing to move to a more of a manual UTM tagging practice, if need be, trying to find the documentation now. Nava goes, also, if you know that conversion actions are messed up in Google Ads, would you carry over the actions to GA4 for parity or use GA4 as an excuse to rip up everything and start over? A few old accounts have asked me this and I'd love your opinion. And yeah, River goes, do you still trust GA4 as the source of truth or recommend still using it that way? And she continues, what are you advising clients to do in light of the 14-month data retention limit and deprecation of UA? How are you setting people up to pull year-over-year reports? Brie goes to Travis Beer. She'll say, do you have a site, a lot or a little traffic? Threshold is different in those two situations. Generally, if you don't have enough data, that's when you get thresholding. This is for privacy reasons. It happens for one of two reasons. One, your site isn't gathering enough data. That doesn't happen often in my experience. Or two, you have too many custom dimensions being collected. Too much data is just because, well, it's too much for Google to share with a standard account and you likely need to look into GA360. Julie goes, this exact scenario is most of the B2B, lots of little actions, very few but lucrative main actions. David Wavelt responds saying, what are your thoughts on healthcare sites running GA4 for Google Ads and Google Ads tagging installed regarding HIPAA compliance? Do you advise them to remove it altogether or have you found alternative HIPAA compliant implementations? Brie goes, yeah, to Nicholas Garfinkel saying that this is a great question. We do lose a chunk of data when implementing cookie banners and such. However, when done correctly, most people should only see about a 10 to 15% difference because the number of places and industries that actually require that level of compliance is pretty slim. But when GA4 came out, the very first press release covered what they were doing to prepare for a cookieless future, which is actually a lot, and that was back in 2020. If you had GA4 set up then, the modeling should be close to kicking in and you should be okay-ish when the time comes. Brie goes, yeah, but the biggest thing to remember about GA for, like most analytics platform, is that it has always reported on sampled data to a point, and most flat platforms do. The idea is to get you close enough to be able to make decisions, right? Unless you go through your log files and build out your own analytics system, you're never going to have 100% perfect data, and even then, you'll likely still be off. It's always best to cross-reference with your own tools and do your own research. Nicholas goes, yeah, is the 10 to 15% anecdotal? Yeah, anecdotal, or do you have any studies around that? Just curious, because that seems really low for an opt-in experience. Bounce rates are pretty high in PPC too, so I have to imagine anyone who is bouncing isn't interacting with our cookie banner. Bria as well responds to Nava saying, oh, I've scraped the event setup in GA Google Ads for most clients, but mostly because most sites had severely outdated tracking to begin with, not just with Google Ads. Usually I have clients either use the conversions from GA4 imported into Google Ads, or we build out the setup in GTM and then the exact same trigger is used for the Google Ads tags as well. Nicholas goes, I only ask... Oh yeah, and in terms of whether she has any research around the 10 to 15% discrepancy of like whether that the fact that some brands are going to need to have compliance issues with using GA4 the way they want us to use it. Nicholas goes, I only ask because there's quite a few folks who say they're seeing consent opt-in at a 30% rate, which will be a massive drop in tracking. I would rather lose the ability to do retargeting at the expense of losing 50 to 70% of my user analytics by not using consent mode. And he shares an article. Brie goes out to Riva Minkov Gear saying, huge point, the deadline for UA data is coming up quick. You can see my thoughts here. And she shares a YouTube video. Niels Ruhman responds saying, are you aware of any changes being made to the import of GA4 conversions into Google Ads starting March 15th? GA4 still tracks normal amount of conversions, all being attributed to Google or CPC. However, the import into Google Ads shows over 30% less conversions. Google Ads reports 600, whereas GA4 attributes 900 to Google or Google CPC. Julie responds as well, saying, what I mean when I say the product teams at Google are not working together. Your advice, Brie, to use the GA4 data to pull back into Google Ads is not at all what Google Ads tells you to do. Then last year, they announced the universal Google tag, way to make that confusing, and certain Google product teams are pushing using the singular tag. It is a confusing mess, even for people who are really trying to use the best or cleanest methods for data flow. Brie goes to Nicholas Garfinkel as well, says, yeah, my number is from experience, to be fair, though most all of these sites had massive PPC budgets as well, but they also had good organic numbers as well. It's definitely possible to lose that much traffic, but again, it can be largely avoided at this point in time by only using the banner when absolutely necessary. This can be done using the big names like CookieBot or OneTrust. But yeah, to your point, if it isn't an absolute must, don't use the retargeting feature, but most folks want it. River goes, also seeing the Google Ads tags and Google Ads data not matching for the same event as per what I think Niels is saying. Wishing there was a good way around that. Amethyst responds saying, are there any reasons you would advise against pulling raw GA4 data into BigQuery? Brianna responds to that saying, against? No, not really, but most folks won't know how to use it or use it wisely, which can get costly. Nicholas goes, yeah, in a previous role, we pulled GA data into BigQuery, and 100% what Bree said, 99% of the relevant teams had no idea how to use the data properly. And it actually led to people calculating metrics wrong and differently, and a big mess that way. Everyone reporting different metrics is different ways to leadership. And Brie responds to Julie saying, yeah, well, I've never had a good experience with a Google Ads advocate or whatever they are called these days. Well, salespeople pretty much. But to be fair, I'm not a PPCer by trade, so that should definitely be taken into consideration. Adam Gorecki responds saying, yeah, I find myself having to register some default event parameters as custom dimensions in GA4 things like form, ID, link text, search term, so I can see them in Looker Studio. And when I click on each event in the GA4 event reporting, am I the only one that does this? Why do I have to use my custom dimension slots for standard event parameters? Yeah, because Google Ads sucks. Brie responds to Neil's going odd. I haven't looked into, so I can't speak from the experience, but I'd start here. And she shares a support article from Google. Adam responds also, how often are you using custom event names instead of the ones that Google provides, such as generate lead? Nick Lewis responds, do you have the effective way of GA4 to differentiate between Google paid search ads and display ads? Brie responds to Adam Gorecki saying, yeah, that is an odd thing in GA4. Not sure why you have to register those, because they are automatically collected and can be seen in Explore, just not reports. Adam goes, yeah, in my honest opinion, Google wasn't thought through. It was rushed out to satisfy privacy lawsuits, and 3 years later, here we are. Yep, ain't that the truth? Nicholas responds to Nate Lewis saying, you can pass campaign type through as a parameter. Nate continues as well saying, yeah, to Adam Gorecki especially, saying user traffic acquisition level or on source or medium level, everything seems to always get lumped back to Google CPC. And on that note, we come to the end of our chat today, and I hope you've taken some great takeaways from this chat, especially from Bree's advice and even all our collective frustrations as to how we're handling GA4. Again, this is one of those moments where you can be rest assured you are not alone with your frustrations. But yeah, we are going to be continuing this chat, and I think, you know, this is one audio chat that you'd probably want to join on Thursday at 4 p.m. GMT, as our clocks have not switched yet, and the UK have switched and the US have switched their clock. So at 4 p.m. GMT, we're going to be having an audio chat on GA4 with Brie about GA4 and our concerns and our work arounds. For any feedback about the podcast or maybe even some corrections on anything that has been shared, do get in touch with me on Twitter, on Threads, on LinkedIn, especially on my handle, The Marketing Anu, or search for me, my name, Anu Adekbola. And we have the PPC Chat Roundup group for you to join us with any of your comments. It would also be great to all longstanding or newer members to leave a rating or review. And to do that, just go to linktree.com/PPCChat_roundup. And yeah, we are under the less than the 1 month mark to get to our next PPC live event, which is happening in Brighton. We've got a location secured, that's not going to change. We've got three fantastic speakers secured, that's not going to change. And yeah, we've got pizzas that's going to be on the way, drinks that's going to be on our way, you know, recording that's going to be recording this fantastic event of us, you know, branching out from our safe London zone. We're going to be coming to Brighton to bring you a fantastic PPC party on the cusp of the next Brighton SEO. So yes, we'd love for you to join us there. The tickets are only £17 at the moment, but that is going to double in a few weeks, so catch that very quickly. Yeah, if you just go to ppcliveuk.com, you'll be able to get your early bird tickets there. Finally, remember, for your campaigns and businesses to glide smoothly, there's a lot of hard work needed beneath the surface. So keep your swans kicking. Bye, and speak to you next week.